Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure to have Sean the Preacher calling on. He's going to talk about the wrestling industry. The title of the show is No Wimps Allowed, Taking the Battle to the Professional Wrestling Industry. So if you have any questions, please call in at 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room. I'm going to read it on the air. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, well, it's glad to be here, and I'm glad that you had me on the show today. I'm looking forward to doing it.
Great. I guess kind of tell us, our audience like to hear personal views on about the person, how they got started, and where they're from. So if you can share a few minutes, tell us about yourself and where are you from?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I went to college out in Erie, Pennsylvania, at a place called Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania. And from there, I was doing some teaching and some different things. I actually taught some gang members in the Erie area as well. And then from there, I just decided to move down to Florida to try to get some better teaching opportunities. And then I moved to Florida, and then I started really getting involved heavily with the churches down here and the people of the churches. And then one thing led to another, and then the ministry kind of spawned out of that.
Wow. So I know you. There's probably a yaha moment or an epiphany. As you're growing up, did you realize you're going to be where you are today?
Not really. It was kind of one of those things where growing up, I was always a fan of the pro wrestling industry, and you know, just from the time I was a child, you know, I always loved, you know, guys like Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, the Road Warriors, the Rock and Roll Express. And so, you know, I was really a big fan growing up, and, you know, I used to watch it with my dad and, you know, things along those lines, and then I got out of it for a while. And then when I was in college, I met friends who were really into pro wrestling, and they just loved it. So we got together every time there was a pay-per-view, you know, we'd have cookouts, and we'd always get together for all the shows and stuff. So, you know, so it was kind of continually a part of me. So then, you know, one day, you know, I was going down here to Florida. I wasn't a Christian before I came to Florida. And through a turn of events, you know, I ended up becoming a Christian here in Florida, and I was involved, like I said, with the churches. One of the churches, I was a sound and audio tech, and, you know, I helped out with all the audio on Sunday, and I kept growing and growing and growing, you know, in my walk with the Lord. And eventually, I came to my home church now, which is the Salvation Saloon in Clearwater, Florida. And I was talking to a guy there by the name of Big Mike. And Big Mike at the time, he was actually, what he was doing was, he was actually doing prison ministry. And one of the people he was ministering to in the prison was the son of a famous pro wrestler, okay? So it was kind of one of those things where the light bulb went off in my head, and I'm like, well, you know, who is really there for people in the wrestling industry? You know, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, you know, whether you think the way I do or don't think the way I do, you know, which is fine. It's like, who's there for them? You know, because I don't know if you're familiar with the professional wrestling industry, but it's kind of like a circus type atmosphere. It's kind of like, you know, where it's very hard to get close to people unless you're in that industry. Okay, so it takes a lot to really build those relationships and to build that trust. So, you know, so I just decided what would be better than combining my passion for pro wrestling with my passion for God and bringing something that has never been done before. Okay, similar to like, you know, like let's say the NBA or the military. The military would have chaplains, okay, people that they can go to when they're going through situations. But in the pro wrestling industry, they really have nobody that they can turn to. It's a very political business. It's a business that's stemmed with a lot of backstabbing. And true friendships are very, very hard to build. So, you know, so it was something that I just wanted to combine my two passions and take it forward into something special.
Wow. Let's go back up for a second
about sure.
the industry itself. Tell us about this particular industry. Is it really difficult for a person to come into? What do they need to be mentally and physically prepared? How should they prepare, and how what ways they should go if they want to enter that particular sports arena?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to get into. Now there's various levels. We have what we call the independent scene,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of like the minor leagues of baseball. So, you know, so you have people out there that get trained and they go to different shows, like say like an armory or something like that. And, you know, and then they get trained and they start to, you know, perfect their craft through that. But old school mentality is you had to pay your dues. So you would be the guy that would come in, you would do all the grunt work, and then you would learn. Or the guys would stretch you in a particular way, you know, and they would really, really, it's kind of like, you know, almost like a motorcycle club. You know, a motorcycle club has what they're called prospects, and they pretty much get, you know, all the garbage detail. You know what I mean? Because they really want to push you. They really want to, you know, they really want you to see what you're made out of. Okay. So, you know, some guys will have to set up a ring, you know, or drive from show to show and be a driver or carry luggage or whatever the case may be for a year, 2 years, you know. And if you're, you know, and you want to be sure that you're trained by the right people. You know, a lot of times there's people that step into the industry and, you know, they have a love for the business and, you know, they want to get involved and they think, well, you know, I'm going to start to train. And, you know, and they go do their thing, but it takes a lot more. Like you were saying before, mentally, you have to be mentally prepared. Physically, you have to be physically prepared. Now, you know, like if you're at the top two levels, let's say, you know, like a WWE who's on the top of the food chain right now, or even, you know, back in the day, you had World Championship Wrestling, who was one of the bigger companies. And now you even have a company like a TNA Wrestling. Now, you know, to those levels, a lot of those guys, especially in the WWE and WCW, have a hectic travel schedule. They're on the road constantly. I mean, they travel, you know, maybe, you know, 275, 300 days out of the year. So, and they're going from show to show, especially old school, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, you know, they would travel from, you know, do three or four shows in one day. So they hit the road and finish a show, hit the road, go to the next state, hit the road, go to the next state, so forth and so on. So basically, you know, you're sleeping, you're getting up, you're working out, you know, and then you're getting ready for your venue. Some guys will stay up all night and party, but then, you know, they'll shoot off to the next show. So it takes a really toll, it takes a really big toll on your body. That's why, you know, there's a lot of guys in the industry who are hooked on painkillers. Because their body is doing stuff that it's not meant to purposely do.
Physically.
And then, you know, concussions are a big thing nowadays, too. You have Christopher Nowinski in the Sports Legacy Foundation always doing research on concussions. And there's a lot of guys who, you know, who get hit in the head with a steel chair, you know, and it really racks their brains. And not until recently are people really coming to realize the effects of that, you know, and the damage that it could do. So, you know,
go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, I was just going to say, to get beyond, you know, an independent level, which, you know, most states throughout the United States and even, you know, overseas have independent shows. You know, these guys work from show to show, you know, get on whatever show they can, try to improve their skills, try to get noticed. But to get to the big company like the WWE really takes something special. You know, you have to have a sense of charisma. You know, your character has to be just right. You have to wrestle in a particular way that fits to their television audience. So, you know, in the early days of wrestling, guys would go on the microphone and they would cut promos off the top of their heads, which was a lot better because it would enable people to think on their head, you know, think on their feet. But nowadays, a lot of that stuff is pre-scripted, so these guys got to come in and memorize all this stuff. And sometimes when it comes across, it doesn't come across as it should because you have a team of writers trying to portray something. And we're talking like, you know, a WWE level here, as opposed to the guys just being who they are and really helping things to work based on, you know, what your role is. You know, whether you're a good guy, a bad guy, you know, somebody's in between, you know, whatever your constitutional boundaries are for that character.
I follow. So do they physically, I know the stretching, the motion, the physical hits and so forth, when it comes to really throwing things and really hitting someone with a chair, how in the world can a person can be fit enough or have enough strength to endure the constant hitting? And I know you mentioned they, some of them are addicted to painkillers to kind of numb the pain. But, like, for example, like if you're Lou Ferrigno, I think that's his name, from the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Full of muscle. Yeah, throwing the chair on him is not going to really hurt. You know, you got to be really hit it real, really hard. If you're close to him, it's not going to really it just bounce off of him because, you know, he's so dense. But when you get that big, you can't move. Physically, you can't move as fast.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so
well, you know,
it has its physical limitations because if you're bigger, that'll mean you're actually better, but then it limits your mobility because you can't fit certain things. You can't. But however, someone hits you with something, you have more of a chance to survive that.
Correct. You know, back in the day, it used to be that they used to push the guys who really, truly looked like wrestlers. Big, huge guys, larger than life. But nowadays, you know, you got people of all sorts of different sizes and abilities and, you know, from, you know, levels of quickness and, you know, things along those lines. But you know, whenever you get hit with a chair, regardless of how hard they swing it, it still hurts. Because, you know, because you, even if you're taking it to the back, even a guy like Lou Ferrigno, yes, he has some muscle to add a little bit of padding. But if you get it right in that wedge of that spine, it's still going to hurt. You know, and also the thing is, too, is whenever guys get hit, their endorphins are at a high level. So they're not feeling that pain right away. You know, sometimes when they get clocked in the head, obviously they're going to feel that and they're going to get woozy and that's going to hurt. You know, but a lot of times, too, they have the endorphins running through them. So, that endorphin kind of puts you on a natural high, but it's whenever you get in the back that pain really kicks in. You know, all those things that these guys go through hurts in a big way. Now, I've never been in the ring myself, but from people I've talked to and from the studies I've done, you know, these things do hurt. I mean, you know, you hit somebody with a steel chair or push somebody through a wooden table, you know, it's still going to hurt. You know, or, you know, some of these guys even go to the extreme and do hardcore matches, you know, where they cut open each other with barbed wire and stuff along those lines. So,
wow.
You know, just to add, you know, a different element to the show, because the problem is a lot of times in the wrestling industry is fans always want more. And a lot of times, though, people don't realize the danger that's involved of people giving them more. It's like whenever you're watching a wrestling show and, you know, fans make fun of people for screwing up, okay? Those fans should be happy for the time that those guys don't screw up, because your movements and everything you do have to be so precise, because the guy opposite of you, his life is in your hands. You know, I've seen guys go through some tremendous things and, you know, and things that people on the surface don't know about, but people who really follow the industry close or follow it behind the scenes, you know, some of these things would really quite shock you in a bit. So like one guy, I was down here at a show for Florida Underground Wrestling, and he got a chop to the chest, and he ended up having a heart attack in the ring.
Wow.
So, you know, things can happen at any given time. So, you know, people should really be cautious about what they say when people screw up. Yeah, people screw up, but you know what? It's better than somebody dying or causing serious injury to somebody else.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick. Again, we're with Sean Colonna. We're talking about the wrestling industry and his ministry. I'll be back in a second.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're back with Sean the Preacher, Kelowna Christian Crusader. I guess, Sean, let's go talk about your ministry itself. When did you receive the calling to this particular ministry? How did
actually,
it come to
this came about almost 2 years ago. August will be our 2-year anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Well, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, and I'm still not at the level we want to be at yet. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, we'll talk about later on about, you know, some of the needs and stuff. But, you know, people like your audience is people that we need, people that are very business savvy, because that's one thing that I don't have. You know, I have the ability to go out and preach and build relationships and do that sort of thing. But, you know, really establishing all of the elements of business is, you know, very difficult for me. And I, you know, applaud everybody who's out there who's able to start their own business and who can get all the inner workings of things done. I mean, that's just amazing to me. But like I was saying before, it just came to me whenever I was talking to my friend who was doing prison ministry for someone that was in prison. It was kind of one of those things that just came together for me. And it's like, you know, it's like I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do something that was going to make an impact in an area that not a lot of people have ventured to. You know, if you look at the press release, like I said, the title is, you know, No Wimps Allowed, you know, taking the battle to the professional wrestling industry. And the reason for that is because the professional wrestling industry isn't suited for everybody. You know, a lot of your Sunday morning churchgoers or, you know, Wednesday night churchgoers or, you know, just people in the church in general wouldn't be suited for this type of ministry because of the colorful characters. You know, sometimes the storylines that they use can be off color. You know, sometimes the language that people can use can be off color. So you really have to be equipped and, like you said, have that calling to be able to do this. For example, it's like, you know, I used to be a part of the CMA, which is the Christian Motorcyclist Association. And, you know, to minister to the biker community takes a special gifted individual because you have to really understand that community. You really have to understand that culture. You know, and some people going to a biker event would be, you know, they'd be beside themselves. Man, how are you out here and how are you talking to this person? How are you talking to that person? You know, why are you talking to that person? You know, or you get some churches that, you know, want to deliver the hellfire and brimstone speech, which is absolutely ludicrous. So, you know, because, I mean, you know, you take a look at it, you know, I mean, from a scriptural standpoint, you know, and I not know everybody, you know, doesn't believe the same way I do, but if you look at the scriptures, you know, a person like Jesus would minister to prostitutes. He would minister to the people who are, you know, considered drunkards and so forth and so on. So, you know, so you really have to, like you said, be equipped for that calling.
What, you know, if we look at the particular calling today, I would say probably, and I've been in the church for well over 30 years, active in all the different denominations. If you really think about it, if you look within the past, since 1990, or really the mid-90s, we have grown in this country leaps and bounds with mega churches that we have never had in the history. More people, I would say, is going to church, or we just keep in numbers. We're having, from the Catholics to the Protestants, I mean, huge facilities. Of course, you had a lot of corner churches that were small and they were regional, but you have these little small churches all of a sudden mushroom to giant churches. What are you thinking, what are your thoughts on why this phenomenon of having these huge churches these days? Is people being ministered to through different niches, like your niche, you have a biker niche, you have people who want to focus on the wrestling niche, those on youth ministry, those on this or that. What are your opinions why we have grown as a nation with so many churches?
Well, you know, just because the number of churches have grown in size doesn't mean that the people necessarily in the churches, as I'm sure you know, are are honestly Christians. You know, because there are times where, you know, people would go to churches and stuff out of routine. They will go to it out of tradition. You know, like their families went, and then, you know, they're going with the family. You know, so, you know, Jesus said, you know, that a Christian will produce fruit. And, you know, if you don't, to me, you know, personally, if you don't see fruit in that person's life, you know, it's very hard to say, you know, are you really walking with God? You know, I don't know that for sure. Only God knows that, you know what I mean? So I'm not one to make that assessment. But that's one of the things that, you know, in my own mind, I have a tendency to look at. You know, are you giving of yourself to others? You know, are you practicing joy? Are you practicing patience? Are you practicing forgiveness? You know, for churches, a lot of times, though, with churches, see, it's a fine line. Because sometimes with mega churches, you got to be careful because some people get so involved in activities. They just want a place to belong. That they're not truly there for the message of the gospel. They're there just to have friendships, just to have something to do, just to get out of the house. You know, because like a lot of these guys have, you know, sometimes there's churches that have like men's volleyball group. Or there's a church down here in Clearwater that has a skate park. You know, so a lot of times, you know, it's good that people are there and that they're hearing the message because God says whenever his word goes out, it will not come back void. So that's good. But, you know, it's hard to really say where the influx came from. Because, you know, there's also churches that were closed down. You know, there's a lot of small churches that were closing down that were merging into other churches. So, you know, sometimes that also accounted for your mega churches. You know, and it's like, you know, if you have a family and let's say, you know, one person in the family is a believer and then, well, the husband hangs along, you know, because he wants to, you know, be nice to his wife and the kids come along because, you know, they want to support mom, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, when I grew up Roman Catholic, and I didn't want nothing to do with the church. You know, I mean, but I went to church because it made my mom happy for me to be there. And to me, making my mom happy was number one priority. You know, so I went, you know. And so it wasn't until years later, when I was almost in my 30s, until I really started to have that relationship with Christ, where I really started to walk with Christ, where I really started to turn away from the things I used to do. And that's not to say I'm perfect. I'm not perfect in any sensible way. I mean, I still got sin issues myself that I'm dealing with and that God's dealing with me with, you know. And that's one of the things I really try to, you know, bring into the wrestling ministry is a paper-thin honesty. You know, if you want to know something about me, ask me. I will tell you. If you want to know what I'm struggling with, I'll tell you, you know, because it's, because, you know, then you can relate to other people. Then the curtain is removed. There's no, there's no sense of secrecy. You know what I mean? You're clean and you're honest. You know, one of the rules that we had with CMA, which was the Christian Motorcycle Association, is you earn the right to speak. So for me to go and present the gospel to somebody, I want to earn that right. I want to build their friendship. I want to build a trust with them. You know, I want them to see how I'm walking in my own life. You know, because I don't want to just point the fingers, like, oh, man, you should be doing this. You should believe the way I should believe. No, that's just ridiculous. You don't need to believe the way I believe. I mean, you know, if God calls you to that and if God and the Holy Spirit comes in and changes your heart, then, you know, that's one thing. It's not up for me to change you. It's going to be God's job to change you. I'm just there to help you out, be supportive, offer friendship, you know, help you whatever you're going through.
And talking about these struggles, any particular struggles that people are facing that's pretty common today? I know we have economic crisis. We have, anytime you have finances in the mix of it, it causes stress on the family. Anything that's, that stands out right now within your particular ministry, or are you seeing in ministries,
you know,
period?
Well, a lot of times, you know, I see addictions as being very huge. You know, especially in the wrestling industry, just things like drug addictions, alcohol addictions, you know, those sorts of things. I see people, like you said, struggling financially, and financial burdens which puts a strain. I see a lot of medical issues, too. You know, people coming, you know, having family members that are having, you know, like cancer and stuff along those lines. I see people that are going through divorces, and they don't know how to handle that. You know, and, you know, so there's a whole bunch of different things. I mean, you know, just because, you know, people are in the pro wrestling industry and sometimes people see these people, especially like in the WWE and things along those lines, as, you know, larger in life. you know, similar to like people would watch in pro sports. Like, oh, man, I think, you know, like these football players are larger than life and, you know, these celebrities in Hollywood are larger than life. Well, you know what? These people are people just like you and I. They have family members that are sick. They have addictions that they struggle with. They have hurts. They have wants. They have needs to be loved. They have needs for somebody to communicate to them, somebody to talk to them. You know, I mean, so there's, you know, there's a lot of different things that people are going through. And, you know, I think with this nation as a whole, we need to get back to supporting one another, encouraging one another, being true neighbors to one another. You know, sometimes, you know, this generation I see in this society in general, it's all about me. You know, what about me? How could I promote myself? What's in the best interest of me? Instead of saying, okay, how can I help somebody else today? You know? You know, if you know your neighbor is struggling with food, you know, and you have all this food in your house that you don't need, take some food down to them, you know? I mean, it's...
Absolutely.
You know, it's common courtesy. I mean, look at all the homeless children and families that we have in the United States. Like, Philadelphia is a prime example of people who are starving. You know, thankfully, you know, there's shows like on the Food Network that have initiatives to raise money and food for those people. I mean, sometimes we take for granted the blessings we have, like drinking clean water, you know, and being able to take a shower. You go to some of these countries, like in Mexico and things all across the world, you're going to see some really hurting people. And then, you know, sometimes you see those people and it puts your problems into perspective.
No, absolutely. If you look at ministry itself, your particular ministry, and you just mentioned you're 2 years old, how have your transition been for the past 2 years? Any particular challenges in your growth, or what things are you looking at where you are today and where you'd like to be in the next 5 years?
Okay, well, you know, a lot of it, one, is always coming down to financial aid. You know, having the aid to run the ministry full-time. You know, because, as you know, a lot of ministries, you know, are piggybacking off the income of others, you know, and that's what you have to do whenever you run a nonprofit. So, but before that, you know, one of the main challenges is getting people involved with the ministry who have a heart to serve the Lord and who's not in it for a photo op. Because, you know, let's say, you know, for example, I'm dealing with a guy like Hulk Hogan, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hogan isn't going to want you to go up to him and say, oh, my gosh, Mr. Hogan, can I have your autograph? And, my gosh, can I have a picture for Facebook? You know, and, oh, my gosh, I got to tell all my friends that I got Hulk Hogan's cell phone number. You know, and sometimes you run into that because it's not about serving. It's not about being there for the people in the industry. It's not about loving them and taking care of their needs. It's about, oh, my gosh, I know this person, you know. So that's one of the challenges. And getting people who are dedicated to the ministry, who want to serve in a full-time capacity. You know, right now there's about three or four of us that work in the ministry, but, you know, a lot of times some of the guys are busy and girls doing other things. So, you know, a lot of times I'm running things, you know, by myself. So, you know, sometimes it's great to, you know, get some extra help down the line too, you know, people to help with, you know, just like postings on Facebook or postings on Twitter so you can keep everything updated and accurate. Mm-hmm. You know, my eventual goal is to create Fight the Battle into a complete full nonprofit ministry. And that's what I was saying before about people that have the business sense, because I don't really know how to create a full nonprofit organization. I mean, I know you need bylaws and this and that, but people that have the business savvy, people that are the lawyers who know this in and out, is something, you know, that would be very beneficial to us, because my goal is to have a chapter set up in each state and eventually in the international markets as well. Because, you know, markets like Japan are huge for pro wrestling. There's markets in Mexico that are huge for pro wrestling. Canada is huge for pro wrestling. So I want to be able to, you know, blanket the entire industry. And the reason I want to have people in every state is because, like I said before, there's a lot of independent shows. So I'd always like to have people on hand at these shows in case people are going through something, in case there's an accident and somebody needs prayer, or somebody's going through something, say, hey, man, can I talk to you? You know, but like I said, you know, getting the right combination of people that is going to focus on God. Because I'm sure, as you know, when groups have a tendency to get big and expand, they forget their core purpose. They
Absolutely.
Forget that they're you know, in a Christian perspective, to serve God and to glorify God, it becomes about them. It becomes about their logo. It becomes about marketing. It becomes about, oh, how much income are we making? You know, and that's my greatest fear, and that's the one thing that I always pray that I'll keep humble about. You know, whenever we start to grow, is that we'll always keep that mentality on the Lord and His purpose and not our purposes. Because, you know, because like I said before about that selfish thing, that's something that, you know, you really got to work through and say, okay, God's the one doing this. I'm not doing this, you know. I mean, the opportunities that God's presented over this past 2 years and people that He has put into my life has just been amazing. I mean, there's been times where I've been without a car and I haven't been able to attend wrestling shows, and yet God will still put people in the wrestling industry into my life, whether it's via Facebook, whether it's for through other friends that I know, whether it's for people I work with. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Back to your say how to do certain things. You can go to your local SCORE, which is part of the SBA, and they kind of they have lawyers that's free of charge, don't cost you anything, can help you set your business up for your nonprofit or if you're going to do for profit, and they help you out on that. And it's called SCORE. Retired executives from different companies, and that help you with that. And they have local offices everywhere.
That's some awesome information. I truly appreciate that.
They help you do everything. You really don't have to do anything at all. It's just, you know, for the nonprofit, it's only like $25. You just have to pay the filing fee for that. And that kind of help you out for that. And some of them will actually mentor you as well. So kind of reach out to them. And again, it's called SCORE, and you can look at the SBA website. And they would pretty much that's what they do. They retire executives,
wow.
And they would love to help you. So just check them out in your local area, and you'll be pretty well pleased.
Absolutely.
Anything you'd like to leave us with? And do you have a website, a church website, or other information you'd like to share?
The ministry website, you can find that at fightthebattle.org.
Okay.
You know, it explains a lot about what we do, which is one of the things we really didn't really concentrate on, the actual, you know, what the ministry does and its purpose, you know, that sort of thing, because there's a lot of different avenues that we pursue. And
well, we can talk about that. Why don't we talk about the ministry itself and
some
of the avenues?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the things we do is Fight the Battle is set up. It's a twofold ministry. Okay,
mm-hmm.
One is for people in the business, in the industry. And when I say people in the business, that doesn't necessarily just mean wrestlers. It means people who are security, people who are ticket takers, people who are announcers, people who work in the audio and video, people that are in the offices, anybody that works in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
So the first avenue would be it's a network for other Christians in the business. You know, it's a place where we can all gather together under one organization so that we can pray for one another, that we can teach one another, that we can guide and encourage one another, that we can fellowship and talk to one another through the things that we're going through. You know, eventually I'd love to do a thing where, you know, I would have an awards presentation at the end of the year for all the Christians in the business. You can give out awards to their service in their community. What are they doing, you know, outside of the wrestling ring, you know, that sort of thing, or the outside of pro wrestling. And the other avenue is for everybody. You know, it's an outreach. You know, we do things like prison visitations, hospital visitations. We're available to go, you know, to like shows and weddings and, you know, pray for people there in those situations as well. We help in pro wrestling related fundraisers. For example, you know, if a guy got injured, like I was telling you before from Florida Underground Wrestling, when a guy had a heart attack, what we did was I got some people together and we had an Avon campaign and we sold Avon products and all that money that we came in through Avon. Yeah, I know. It's really weird. A wrestling company, you know,
right.
selling Avon. But see, the thing was, is one of our members, his wife owned an Avon company. So she knew all the ins and outs. So she also gave her portion of what we sold to the fund to help this guy. So, it was a tough sell, but we were able to raise a good portion of money for this guy to help him. And also, you know, helping guys, you know, with church placement who are unfamiliar with the church, or even if they are familiar with the church, you know, make sure they're going to a right church. Make sure they're going to a church that really teaches from the Scripture. Because, you know, as you know, there's a lot of churches out there sometimes and messages on TV that you just have to shake your head at. You know, it's like, where are these people getting this stuff? So, you know, make sure that they're walking the right path. You know, I also want to at some point in time, and you know, I'm sure maybe some of your listeners out there are part of counseling centers. I would love to partner with some counseling centers for guys who are addicted to painkillers or who are going through different types of addictions. That, you know, these guys would have an outlet for help. You know, whenever you're in the WWE, one of the great things the WWE does is, believe it or not, they actually will send you for help, whether you're still working for that company or not. If you need help, let's say you're having a drug addiction and you need to go into recovery, they will pay for it and cover it as long as you need it, whether you're still with them or whether you're not with them. So that's one of the awesome things that, you know, that company does for people that a lot of people aren't aware of. So, you know,
wow.
we try to cover, you know, a lot of different avenues. You know, we always want to be there for people and support people and encourage people. And like I said before, all these people, one of the arguments I got before was, well, you know, you have to believe like they do in order to get help. That's not true. You know, it's not my job to make you believe the way I do. You know, if you ask me for an opinion, you can expect my opinion to know where it's coming from. But you know, but if you don't believe like me, it's not going to say, oh, man, you don't believe like me, I'm not going to help you. Or, man, you don't believe like me, I'm not going to go to the hospital and pray for you. I mean, there's been a lot of people who are going through situations. I mean, a couple car accidents recently of people in the pro wrestling industry. You know, there was another lady, you know, she blacked out recently and had to get taken to the hospital. You know, and, you know, people are getting cancer and illnesses. And I mean, there's just so much going on. So, you know, so like I said, it doesn't matter to me if you believe the same way as I do or you don't, you know, so.
A couple things real quick, close out real quick about, okay, how did you get the name The Preacher, the nickname, because of your influence of the church?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of guys will have to go to seminary and stuff like that, you know, to be called, you know, pastors or to, you know, to get that type of title. Mine actually was just a nickname influenced by a friend. What happened was I was at a show down in Clearwater, Florida for Florida Underground Wrestling. And I always go to the shows beforehand because I like to talk to everybody because that's how you build relationships. You meet with people, you see what's going on in their lives. You know, you invest that time. So people were coming up to me with prayer requests. I was sitting at the bar talking to a friend of mine, and I kept grabbing cocktail napkins. And I kept writing the prayer requests on the cocktail napkins and sticking them in my pocket so that I would remember to go home and pray for these people. So the bartender just all of a sudden just started calling me Preacher. And then from that moment on, when she called me Preacher, other people overheard it, and then they started calling me Preacher. So, and it's kind of like everybody now calls me Preacher. You know, it's like when I go to Florida Underground Wrestling now, I see Dante Brown, you know, he's the guy that runs it down to the promoter. He's like, hey, how's my favorite preacher going? Yeah, he introduces me to his friends. He's like, ah, this is my preacher. So, you know, yeah, I would love to, you know, go and do the seminary thing and stuff like that. A lot of it's just more financial things than anything, you know, really trying to be able to do something like that. But for a lot of people, what they really don't know is the Greek meaning of the word preacher isn't actually similar to like a pastor or a reverend. The word preacher actually means assembler of men in the Greek. So what I'm actually doing is I'm going and I am assembling people through the ministry.
Wow. Lastly, fight the battle. I know we kind of highlighted it earlier. Just kind of recap that real quick, the fight the battle campaign.
Okay, well, you know, just to recap, Fight the Battle is an organization. It's a Christian-based ministry. It is a Christian ministry. It is geared towards believers and non-believers. We have an avenue that's set up just for believers as for networking, so we could do things that we like to do within, let's say, the church, you know, the prayer, the discipleship, the training, you know, that sort of stuff, the encouragement, and things that apply to both non-believers and believers, like prison ministries or hospital visitations, prison visitations, you know, charity events, fundraisers, you know, anything that we could do for those in the pro wrestling industry, we're going to do, and we're going to make our best effort to do it. Eventually, I'd love to have funds set up where if people are going through problems with their rent, that, you know, we can provide, you know, funding to help them out with their housing situation, help them out with their food situation. You know, one of the things we talked about earlier was people paying their dues. when you paid your dues back in the day, you didn't have money. You were eating cans of beans and tuna every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you weren't making money. Your money was going from one show to the next show. Some guys, you know, they'd make, if they were lucky, they'd make $20-$25 a night. You know, some guys would go in and work shows for free, and they'd just keep setting up the ring just to get a shot, just to get a chance, just to help somebody continue to train them and help them to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so there's a lot of avenues that people aren't truly aware of, you know, especially to people who don't really follow the industry close and who aren't aware of some of the ins and outs and inner workings. You know, there's also been a lot of deaths in the pro wrestling industry. You know, there was a guy named, you know, by the name of Bruiser Brody who was stabbed in Puerto Rico.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, well, you know, who's there for his family? Who's there for his friends? Owen Hart, I'm sure you guys have heard maybe that story where he was entering the ring from a cable from the ceiling, and the cable broke, and he ended up falling to his death. You know, who's there in that situation for the friends and the family? I mean, obviously, you know, mm-hmm. you know, the companies provide support and encouragement, but sometimes people don't want to open up to people. You know, sometimes people don't want to open up to people that they know in the industry, you know, because one of the things I stress with my people is confidentiality. I don't want people to know other people's business. I don't want people
sure.
information ending up on TMZ or ending up on some website, you know. So I really try to insist on a gag order. I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes those things don't work out as planned, but we do try to have those precautionary measures in there.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Benoit, I'm sure you guys have heard the Chris Benoit story, your listeners. You know, where you know, Chris, you know, ended up, you know, killing his family, you know. So, I mean, you know, there's all sorts of situations that happen within that industry. And those are the ones that just have been spotlighted. So, I mean, these things go on all across the United States and all across, you know, international markets as well on a daily basis. So, you know, my ultimate goal, like you were saying earlier, in you know, the five-year thing, is to be able to run this ministry full-time, on a full-time basis. You know, put my blood, sweat, and tears into doing this each and every day, you know. A lot of it is just, like I said before, the funding to be able to do it, you know. If I had the funding to do it, you know, there's a lot of work that could be done. But it's all
well,
in God's timing.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish your statement.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, it's all in God's timing. And sometimes, you know, as a Christian, one of the things God teaches us is patience and waiting on his timing and not our timing. Because a lot of times we don't realize that God is working behind the scenes to set things up, you know. And, you know, we only see things a certain way, you know. But God, like I said before, in my perspective and the way I believe, is setting things up, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, something's going to happen and something's going to kick in. And I'm just going to continue to pray and wait patiently and continue just to keep grinding away.
Well, we wish you the very best, Sean. And I know that you're going to be real successful in your endeavors. Reach out to SCORE. They're going to help you try to get your ministry on a nice foot. And probably, I'm sure you're going to probably network with some other ministers as well to try to get your ministry, you know, really up and going. But again, I really appreciate you coming out to the program. And lastly, any last thoughts you would like to leave us with? Or
no,
anybody who's coming up?
Well, you know, the only thing I just really want to say is just thank you for this opportunity to have me on the show. And I pray that, you know, you will keep in touch with me after we get off the air and let me know
Absolutely.
How things are going with you. Let me know how things are going with your walk. I know, like you said, you've been in and out of the church. And, you know, if you need me for anything, I'm always here for you.
Sure. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you joining the program today.
No problem. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show, sponsored by the Apple Capital Group. You can download this episode on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. We do ask you that if you do go to iTunes, go and write a comment. Say how this show have blessed you or given you some wealth of information that you can use. Google Plus it, share it. Thank you for listening, everybody, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866 866- 877-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.